Another of President Trump's campaign promises is building that wall to keep people from crossing illegally from Mexico into the U.S. And the bidding process is underway. But there was a time when Americans were going in the opposite direction, fleeing over the border into Mexico. I'm talking about the Underground Railroad, the one thousands of slaves took south to freedom. We usually think of the Underground Railroad as an escape route to the Union in the north, but that path also went to Mexico.
I would say 4,000 to 5,000 of them fled in this region. Could have been any time between 1830 and 1865.
That's Roseanne Bachagarza, who teaches at the University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. I asked her why escaped slaves opted for that path instead of coming north.
A lot of these slaves that left the country were already in Texas working on plantations, or perhaps even Louisiana or other bordering states. So it was closer. And some of them had experience riding and driving ox carts full of cotton from their master's plantation in East Texas, for example, going down to Brownsville to the port to trade into Mexico. So they already knew the land, they knew the terrain, they knew how to get there. So it was natural they decided to take a chance and move on over the border for freedom.
Did American families in this area offer any support or refuge before getting to Mexico?
I've been doing some particular research on some mixed race families that had come to the region to settle in the 1850s. These families came with emancipated slaves, and they made a few settlements along the river on the north side. I imagine that they were assisting escaped slaves to go across the river through ferry landings and other ways. One particular story, a former slave, Sally Rowe, had talked about a story of her father crossing the Rio Grande on a bale of cotton. I called a local cotton ginner to repeat the story to him and ask him his opinion, and he said, absolutely not. It would sink right to the bottom. That particular story was probably a little bit embellished to make it interesting, I suppose.
Were there slave hunters who tracked these runaway slaves across the border back then?
Oh, yes. Several of them, but two in particular that I've been researching. John Ford, he rose to the rank of colonel in the Confederate Army, and then Colonel Santos Benavides, the highest-ranking Tejano soldier in the Confederacy out of Laredo, was also tracking slaves. And both were skilled horsemen. John Ford, in particular, traversed the Nueces Strip, which is a 150-mile expanse between the Nueces River and the Rio Grande River. It's very desolate, very dry, you know, not a lot of water, subject to Indian attacks and things like that. So these two gentlemen in particular, very familiar with the area, were motivated by a $600 per slave caught bounty. They wanted to catch the ones that were escaping over the border to apprehend them and return them to their owners.
I have read that the Texas statewide law enforcement agency, the Texas Rangers, have roots in this whole period. Is that right?
Yeah. John Ford was a Texas Ranger. They were also looking for escaped slaves to capture and return to their owners.
So, Roseanne, I'm curious to know what parallels you see today between slaves in search of freedom in the 1850s going south and Mexicans and other nationalities trying to find a better life and ending up perhaps free but still not thriving.
At least they were happy to be free. When they went over into Mexico, they appeared to be welcomed with open arms. They were able to earn some money. And what they did was they worked there long enough to save some money and go back over the border once the Civil War was over, once slaves were freed in the United States. And in some cases, you know, they were referred to their fathers as their pappy, and that he came back over the border and brought me a new dress or something, some kind of gift or item of purchase, which never would have happened if they were enslaved on a plantation. They also learned how to speak Spanish. So they assimilated into the life in Mexico.
Roseanne Bacha-Garza teaches at the University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. Thanks for telling us about this. I had no idea.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.